Let's pray. Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I say thank you to Brenda and to Elaine for setting this up really nicely today. They've caught the theme very well. Well, Bruce and I are very house conscious these days. This past week, a photographer came and took pictures of our house, our condo, for the realtor to put up on the website. And we're really anxious to see this because they make your house look a lot better than it is. So we want to be able to see what it is. And tomorrow, a realtor will come over and walk out through our house with us to see what final things we need to do before he starts showing it to potential buyers. And already we have spent lots of time cleaning and repairing and cleaning and sorting and decluttering and cleaning. It's amazing how many nooks and crannies there are to clean and just how much junk accumulates in these nooks and crannies and how many decisions we have to make. Same thing like Lane was just illustrating so well. What do we keep and what do we throw away? And as I've been doing this, I've been thinking about this process, a similar process happening here in this household of God. Not as drastic, of course. You're staying put. No realtors are knocking on these church doors. But still, as we've said, this is a time of transition. And it is good and necessary to spend some time thinking about what is useful to us as a faithful community of Jesus Christ. What is it that we really need going forward? What are those things worth keeping, and what do we need to throw away? The original purpose of the letter to the Ephesians was to build up and encourage the early church in Ephesus as they figured out what it means to be a household of God. This letter is full of practical advice, most of which remains very relevant to us centuries later. The writer knows that a commitment to following Christ Jesus in the real world, though life-giving, is not particularly easy. In fact, it is usually very countercultural. It requires a willingness to see things from a completely different perspective. For instance, in a culture where a high percentage of folks were servants or slaves, where women were the property of men, the writer says to these Jesus followers in early Ephesus, to men and women, slaves and free, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. In other words, don't stay stuck in the societal patterns and expectations of how things are should be. Instead, for the sake of justice and righteousness, upset the fruit basket. Always, and in every case, put yourselves second and others first. Make consideration for each other your default, no matter what your position or what your perceived rights might be. This is not the way of the world, where status is everything, but it is the way of Jesus. Hold on to this. Keep it front and center as you go forward. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ. The way of the world is generally not the way of Jesus. In this day and age, we might not see things in the same terms that resonated in the ancient world, terms like our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, the authorities, the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. We might not think of things in those terms, but we do recognize that there is much in our culture and in our societal structures, in our everyday assumptions, that pulls us away from God and God's ways, and that's a powerful tide. Drunkenness and debauchery, two of Paul's favorites, might not be the particular things that we struggle with, but I bet that most of us can identify with quarreling and jealousy. We can also identify with greed and selfishness, which is sometimes justified as a desire to protect ourselves or our families. Perhaps we are hard-hearted and self-righteous, dismissing the needs of those around us, chalking them up as a failure of character, making folks unworthy of our consideration. Or perhaps we're lazy, complacent, unwilling to enter into whatever may push us out of our comfort zone or demand too much of our attention. That list could go on, but you get the picture. You know who you are and what it is that you struggle with. What powers of darkness are most insidious for you? These things, my friends, are like the dirt which accumulates in the nooks and crannies, the junk that piles up on those dusty back shelves of our household of God. We have to face the mess and make some decisions, what to keep, what to throw away. We need to get our house in order. What are the tools we can use? What will help us present a house that is clean and strong and ready to withstand the pressures against it? Well, the writer of Ephesians has a suggestion. Put on the whole armor of God. In his letter to the Romans, Apostle Paul calls this the armor of light. If you really want a clean house and set things right, put on this protective gear and take up these powerful tools. God offers us the help we need to do what needs to be done. So here we are, ready to face the music, ready to deep clean the house, ready to decide what to keep and what to throw away. Let's put on our protective gear and pick up the powerful tools. What happens when we put on this armor of God, the armor of light? Let's see. First, fasten the belt of truth around your waist and put on the bulletproof vest of right living. If you've become skilled at rationalizing why it's okay to fudge on your taxes, it's April 15th today, or why you need the newest iPhone or tablet, or why you are more deserving of these things than others, tell yourself the truth. Commit yourself to facing up to this. Put on the belt of truth. Tighten it around your waist, even if it pinches. Let it shape you. Let it pull you in. Let the truth hold you together and set your feet on a new path. Then choose to act in ways that are right. Right for you, right for your neighbors, right for the world. Let consideration of others be your default position. Act rightly in the way of God's Spirit. Acting rightly in the way of God's Spirit is your protection, your bulletproof vest, a valuable part of the armor of light. Take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. There are plenty of flaming arrows out there, plenty of urgent and attractive messages whose purpose it is to convince you to put yourself first at all cost. Plenty of vitriol against those who are different or who think differently. Plenty of temptations to exploit the innocence or blindness or the needs of others for your own benefit. Plenty of reasons why all these things are okay. And these flaming arrows are not to be taken lightly. They are powerful and they can start real fires. We need protection. We need a faith that is strong and which covers us from head to toe. Take up the shield of faith. It is a vital part of the armor of light. Take the helmet of salvation. Paul often talks about changed thinking, the renewal of the mind. This is both an ongoing process, a new birth kind of thing, and it is both an ongoing process and it is a new birth kind of thing. It is both a life-changing realization that we are truly acceptable in God's eyes, and this is our salvation. And it is the need for us to keep on working on what it means to live into this salvation. When we put on the helmet of salvation, it focuses and protects our minds. It keeps us from going off on the wrong track. It doesn't allow us to forget who and whose we are. The right focus and a sense of protection is a crucial part of the armor of light. And finally, take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Along with all the protection, we are given a tool, the sword of the Spirit. And it is a powerful tool. It has the ability to affect change, to cut away that which is creating harm and neglect. It can open up new ways of thinking. It can disarm hurtful messages and render them powerless. The sword of the Spirit is empowered by God, so it is never used to tear down, but instead to prepare the way for building up. God's word is the challenging word of peace among nations, among peoples, among friends, and even among enemies. It is the word of peace and well-being for our own lives. The sword of the Spirit is indeed a powerful tool, and it is an integral part of the armor of light. The whole armor of God both protects us and shapes us. We cannot put it on and then somehow ignore that it is there. To wear it and to use it is to be changed. Putting on the armor of light means allowing the Holy Spirit to guide the process of deciding what to keep and what to discard. It is house cleaning on the highest level. It is both preparation for and a necessary part of living into new life as the household of God. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power, says the writer to the letter of the letter to the Ephesians. And I want to leave you with those same words today. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of God's power. Live as wise people, not as unwise. Be subject to one another. Encourage, support, and build up one another. Always see each other's good your own. Worship together, pray together, play together. Do all of this wearing the armor of light, the belt of truth, the bulletproof vest of right living, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of truth. Allow this armor to shape and transform you, to get rid of the junk, the things that are harmful, to strengthen your faith, and to keep this household of God in good working order for the sake of Christ and the world. If the Lord is our strength and our salvation, whom shall we fear? You go with God, dear people. You go with God. Amen.
For our hymn of response, turn to number 97 in the Sing the Journey, the Green Book. Number 97. The Lord is my light. Let's please stand.